Here's a fact we learned this week. Nearly 700 Merrill Lynch employees earned more than $1 million last year, even though the company lost $27 billion and was forced to be sold to the Bank of America. That's the kind of news that distresses Rakesh Khurana. He teaches at Harvard Business School, and we spoke with him earlier this week from Cambridge. Professor, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote a piece in the Washington Post last week. If I might quote a particularly memorable phrase, you say public companies have become personal ATMs for executives. Could I get you to go with that, explain what you meant?
Well, over the last two decades, there's been a fairly dramatic change in terms of how executives at top companies have been paid. In particular, you know, there was an ethos that shifted away from this stakeholder model, which had executives largely see themselves as fiduciary or economic stewards, to this shareholder maximization model. And one consequence of that was the notion that the sole purpose of executives was to maximize shareholder value. But in a context in
shareholder value, you mean the stock price?
The stock price. But in a context where the average share on the New York Stock Exchange is held for less than 1 year, this largely became a cover in which executives largely aspired to large amounts of wealth, which was very much tied to short-term orientation of the firm. I think one of the consequences of that we are now seeing is that firms often led boards and CEOs to make short-term decisions that have put their entire enterprise at risk. Moreover, it really changed the attitude of managers in a very fundamental way. Managers no longer just aspired for a good living, but really the kind of wealth that was often only enjoyed by a very small proportion of wildly successful entrepreneurs.
It strikes me that, and I find this fascinating to talk about, but it strikes me you've got a real practical problem before the country right now, which is you've got these major corporations that have received bailout funds. They need the best CEOs they can find. And I wonder if they can do it with executive pay caps.
Well, I think this is a very important issue. We have somehow confounded the best CEOs as those who are the highest paid. If you look across our various institutions in society, if you look at the ratio of CEO pay to the best political leaders, our best nonprofit leaders, it's wildly higher than it is in any of those other areas. And I think this is where we've confounded the idea that the person or the organization that makes the most money is somehow the best. And I think until that idea changes, we need to see in many ways that outsized pay packages are not hallmarks of a well-run, well-governed company. Because if you think about it, you could pay someone like a mercenary, that is basically they sell their skills to the highest bidder, or you could pay someone like a Marine, that is they use those same types of skills, but they orient it toward a certain sense of duty and honor. And how you pay people not only affects the top level, but it actually affects the culture that gets penetrated deep into the organization. If you pay at the top, that orients people towards short-term rewards, insulates them from the risks of failure, that's the kind of compensation system that will get duplicated and entrenched and embedded throughout the culture of the organization.
But I've heard executives say, look, they might get paid a lot, but if they succeed, they can create jobs. Whereas they're baseball players that earn more than they do and don't create jobs, except for maybe just, you know, they're accountants and lawyers, and movie stars who get $50 million for one picture and arguably don't move a lot through the economy.
These are comparing apples and oranges. When a major sports star, just take for example, sits down to negotiate a multi-million dollar package, as they're negotiating from someone who wants to pay them less. That's not true in the case of what happened in the CEO compensation package. Many boards are often selected by the CEOs themselves. And so often you're sitting across from someone that you've largely appointed. Moreover, when an athlete's or a movie star's performance is measured, it is difficult to manipulate the results. The goals scored, the home runs hit, how much money a movie opened with are not easily obscured or hidden. The same can't be said about financial reports. Moreover, movie stars, athletes, these are individual contributor jobs. What we're asking a CEO and a business leader to do is basically act as a leader, that is, deliver through others. CEOs should really think about themselves a lot more like coaches than they should think about themselves as Michael Jordan.
So the model has become more like, and I'll cite a specific example, someone like Paul Allen, make a billion before you're 40 and then spend the rest of your life buying a basketball team and giving it away?
I think that's exactly what the challenge is because it's not about any sense of long-term fiduciary responsibility. There's no distinction anymore that we make between value creation, that is the building of products, goods, and services that create long-term sustainable value, versus value extraction, which you can do in a lot of sort of short-term ways. Mm-hmm. If you think about what the entrepreneur or the long-term value builder does, they not only are delivering financial results, but even everything they do, the activities that a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs does or any of our entrepreneurs did, was that they imbued their products. They saw their firms as imbued with not only sort of meaning about what it meant in the marketplace, but social meaning with respect mm-hmm. to what it meant for the long-term value of the society. They had a stake in it. It was associated with terms that, you know, kind of sound kitschy these days, things like prudence, responsibility, obligation. These are terms today that if you often bring them up in the context of a contemporary classroom in business schools, they seem quaint. They're derided often as naive or even mocked. And I think this is the kind of shift that we need to talk about in very explicit ways. And I think part of the challenge that we saw this week, especially with the reaction to some of the proposals that have been put forth, is that the public has lost not only confidence in the basic aspects of measuring the financial returns, but basic institution of business leaders and business as an institution in society. And this has enormous practical consequences. We're not talking about simply, you know, how should these credit default swaps be valued, or how should these esoteric instruments be valued. There's an important technical component, but we also have to address the sort of underlying mental orientation, the underlying notion of what the purpose of business is. And I think without that, and what the social contract between business and society has to be, I think the distrust that the public has will continue.
Rakesh Khurana teaches at Harvard Business School, author of the book From Higher Aims to Hired Hands. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.